الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. Before our actual subject, just a reminder that today is the day of Jumu'ah. We are all aware, but if we say like the month of Ramadan, if the month of Ramadan comes in February, March, and somebody say tomorrow is February, tomorrow is March, it doesn't mean anything to us. But somebody say tomorrow Ramadan is starting, next week Ramadan is starting, so just immediately that we have to fast, keep roza, our connection with Quran, Sharif, etc. So like that, Jumu'ah also, let us not say Friday is coming, or it's Friday, then it's like any other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but say it's Jumu'ah, and then all the amal of Jumu'ah, great, great virtues of Jumu'ah will come to mind. It is mentioned in a hadith that a person who will make six amal, six amals on the day of Jumu'ah, then for every step he takes coming for Jumu'ah namaz, he gets the reward, the thawab of one whole year's ibadat, plus one whole year's roza thawab. Roza is ibadat, but in the hadith it is mentioned separately that all the whole year you made ibadat and you kept whole year roza for every step. So if we took 50 steps to come to the masjid, that means 50 years. If we took 100 steps, 100 years. Mullah Ali Qari, Rahmatullah Ali, the great muhaddith, he says that the virtues which are mentioned, the most are in this hadith. In many hadiths, a lot of virtues are mentioned. But none of those are so much how much is in this hadith. And this is an absolute, authentic hadith, not a weak hadith, and not a made-up, concocted hadith, fabricated, bilkul sahih. So Allah give us tawfiq. What are the six amals? The one is to bath and wear clean clothes. That inshallah every Muslim does, to take a bath, wear clean clothes. Secondly, is to come walking to the masjid. We should try our best to come walking and try and take as many steps as possible to come to the masjid. Thirdly, to come early, and by early is meant when the imam stands up for the khutbah. Before that, if there is place in the masjid proper, we must be in the masjid and try our best to be the earliest and get place in the first stuff. We should try that, endeavor very much for that. The fourth is to sit as close as possible to the imam. That is, we shouldn't sit somewhere at the back. Like many people have got the habit, they will come early, but then they are talking in the toilets, by the toilets. Or they come and they sit somewhere, anywhere at the back, on the side, etc. We should all try and come to the front. And every stuff should be started from the center of the stuff, and till the front stuff is not full, we shouldn't start another stuff. We should always go to the stuff in front of us. And then to listen attentively. We shouldn't take our 40 wings, make our little qailula, or we shouldn't be thinking about other things. We should listen carefully. Even the khutbah, which we don't understand for most of us, it's in Arabic, but we should listen attentively. And we should sit with respect and adab when the khutbah also. The khutbah, the adab of it are like the adab of namaz. That's how in namaz, a person doesn't fiddle around with his clothes, scratches, etc. He sits he's motionless in his namaz. Only what actions of namaz are required, only that he does. Nothing more than that. And in some cases, if you do something more, namaz will even break. So like that, the khutbah especially, we should listen attentively. And the sixth point is that we shouldn't be doing anything useless. anything in vain. Like, for example, playing with our glasses, putting them right, or anything else with our watch we play that we shouldn't be doing. Listen attentively. So 6 very easy, simple amal. If we will do them for the day of Jumu'ah, then we will get for every step that we take for coming for Jumu'ah namaz, we will get 1 year, whole year's ibadat sawab plus 1 whole year's roza sawab. A very special ibadat which is for Jumu'ah and which is also for Madinatul Munawwara is Durood Sharif Salawat ala Nabi. On Friday especially, we should try and increase our Durood. Daily we should read, and Friday we should even try and read even more. Every day's Durood that we read, there are various narrations that an angel is deputed to convey that salams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is a angel, a farishta, at Rozae Mubarak, and Allah has given him the power to hear anyone making salams anywhere, and he conveys it to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on Jumu'ah, it goes directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how fortunate we are. It comes in the Hadith Sharif also. When we recite our Durood Sharif, then the Durood is presented to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that so and so, the son of so and so, he has sent, or the daughter of so and so, they have sent Durood for you. So just our name to be taken in the gathering of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a great, great honor, and what a great thing. Daily we should try and read 100 Durood's. It comes in the Hadith Sharif, a person who reads 100 Durood's a day, then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala himself writes on the forehead of that person, Bara'atu minan nifaq wa bara'atu minan nar. That this person will be free. He won't have any nifaq in him, and he won't enter the fire of Jahannam. So, and to read 100 times Durood Sharif, comfortably, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it takes only about 2 minutes. One day has got 1,400 minutes in a day. And for that, just to take out 2 minutes, and 1,300 the number comes out. So much time we have for all our other things. And just 2 minutes to read Durood Sharif. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. We all should try and reflect and ponder upon ourselves. Am I reading Durood Sharif on a daily basis? And if I'm reading, how much am I reading? We should try and read 100. And for the day of Jumu'ah, we should try and increase it to 300. That is called kathras. Normally, ulama have said, a thing that is done in 300 times, then we have done that in abundance. So we should try and read Durood Sharif on Friday at least about 300 times. And if we can make it 313, even more better. And how much more than that we read? It's only nurun ala nur, and it's only for our own goodness. In one Hadith Sharif it comes that Durood Sharif, the person who reads a lot of Durood Sharif, that person will be, the more we read Durood Sharif, so much we will be closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama have explained, one is a person will be physically, bodily close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great thing. To be close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah is a very, very, very great thing. The second meaning, the ulama have explained, he will be close in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will love and honor that person who is to read a lot of Durood. And the third is that person will get the most intercession, sifarish of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should try and read Durood Sharif on a daily basis. Jumu'ah we should read even more. And this Durood, it is, when a person who reads 100 times a day Durood, he gets the mort of a shaheed. Allah will raise him up as a shaheed. to be in the battlefield. Now make all, Allah give us tawfiq to make regularly dua, at least for the people of Palestine. How much more we can do, we should do. And each one of us should consider, am I making dua for the people of Palestine? Or just casually once, sometimes just somebody is talking, or like in the Fajr Salah, when dua, Qunut and Nazila is read. And then also how many of us pay attention? And how many of us make dua? So dua at least the bare minimum, but we should try and do much more of what we can do for all the Muslims who are suffering in the world. There are so many places. Yeah, if it's difficult for us, for our aid to reach them, then there are many other places also where Muslims are in difficulty, and aid can easily be sent to them. So we should try and do that. So Allah give us tawfiq of reading Durood Sharif in abundance, inshallah. The ayat that I've recited, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى, and make ta'awun, that is, help one another. On what? On birr. Birr, all good actions, all good things. وَالتَّقْوَى, and on taqwa, the fear of Allah Ta'ala. So we are commanded in this ayat that we should remind one another, make ta'awun with one another as far as birr, good deeds are concerned, and taqwa. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ, and do not aid as far as ithm, guna is concerned, وَالْعُدْوَانِ, transgression, and breaking the laws of Allah, don't help one another. In one hadith it comes, الدِّينُ النَّسِيحَ, deen is nasihat, nasihat, advice. And then the Sahaba asked, لِمَنْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, for who? Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a few categories for whom. In short, it is for everyone. That's also just like Durood Sharif. Are we reading Durood? Dua. Are we making dua? Which is my time for dua? When I've set aside some time, that this is my time for dua. Like before Maghrib, at Maghrib time, Tahajjud time, whatever time it can be. Between Azan and Iqama, between those are times when du'as are readily accepted. But besides that, at any other time also, have I got a time slot for my du'as? For our Durood Sharif, for our Tilawat of Quran Sharif, for du'a, all this, have we got a time when which we do this? We should try our best, inshallah, to try and make for du'a also. And help one another. With this, like for example, it is said, Al-Hajju Al-Arafah, that Hajj is Arafat. That is the main rukn, the main faras of Hajj is to be in Arafat. On the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, to be present in Arafat, by this, that is the main ibadat of Hajj. Like that, yeah, in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الدين النصيحة. What is the deen of a person? How do I know that I'm dindar, that I've got deen in me? From the aspect of this hadith, it is how much I'm making nasiha to other people, advice to other people. And this nasiha, even for an alim, is not just the Jummah talk or some bayan at any other time, but it should be an ongoing thing, 24 hours. Wherever we get the opportunity, we should be encouraging one another to do good. وَتَعَاوَنُوا, that is continuously. Wherever we have the opportunity, we should encourage one another to do good. On one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained quite a few things. And one of the things he said to the Sahaba, that what will your condition be when the people will not command the good right and they will not forbid the evil? The Sahaba was surprised that can such a time come that if people don't tell one another about good and they don't discourage them from evil. And when they expressed this surprise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, worse than that, the time will come when people will command evil. and forbid the wrong. And this all happens if we don't command the right. Then a time comes that we command the wrong. And today, you see our condition. If some visitors come to our house, or we go and visit somewhere, and for example, the woman folk were not dressed properly, or the men were not dressed properly, then what, we won't tell them anything, that your dressing is not correct. Or for the men also, we won't say, person got short trouser on, person got a tie, whatever, we won't say. But when we come away from there, then mostly with the family we discuss, they were dressed like this, they were dressed like that. So when we didn't do, and we should remember this great principle also, that by Allah Ta'ala there is never a vacuum, an empty time, an empty space. If the right is not done, it will be filled with the wrong. Now we don't make Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, Ta'awunu alil Birri wa Taqwa. We don't do that, then what we will fall guilty of? Ghibat, backbiting. To talk about them that they are dressed like this, that doesn't make us pious. But now we are in ghibat. We have now, whose ghibat you make, you have to go and ask forgiveness from that person. Otherwise, as far as hukukul ibad is concerned, that person has got a right over you now. His one right was that you should encourage him toward the good and tell him what is the right and the good things. That we don't do. But then we talk behind their backs that they behave like this, their children are like this, their dressing is like this, and now we fall into ghibat. So if we don't do the right, it won't be empty. We will do the wrong. So it's very, very important. And the way to bring about goodness in the society, in the community, in the ummah, is ta'awunu alil birri wa taqwa, to encourage one another to do right and to stop them from the wrong. But if we think of there also, how many of us we speak about the right, and just that it came ad-deenun nasiha, that means all the time, that is your deen, that all the time you are advising. How many a person, he won't tell his wife she's not dressed properly. And we are even today frightened to tell our children. Today we haven't got, we feel you can't tell anyone anything. That is all a complete wrong notion. The Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, everything needs to advise one another. Any person who does anything wrong, they tell that person. For example, we see so many people with the trouser below the ankles, or the kurta is so long and it's below the ankles. Did we ever tell somebody that it is wrong? And there is a way of doing it also. Now, Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, whenever he should see some respectable, honorable person, like a Maulana, somebody, and he is, for example, his trouser is below his ankle. Now, it is difficult to tell that person directly. Your trouser is below the ankle. But as far as advice is concerned, in a nice way, we should say it. But we find it difficult. So what Hazrat should say, all of us look at our trousers. Aren't they below the ankle? So he gave the message in a nice way. That person wouldn't feel offended also. He says, all of us, let us check whether our trousers are above the ankle. So like that, in general terms also, we can give the advice. And in one hadith sharif it comes, man ra'a minkum munkaran, any one of you, it says anyone, man, whoever it can be, not only an alim, it doesn't have to be a pious person, it doesn't have to be a person who is in tabligh and in jamaat, whoever it is, who sees a wrong, man ra'a minkum, who sees a wrong, and he has the means to stop it with the power of his hand. That means he has got this authority there. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِي. Then by force he must change it. Today we say we can't tell anyone anything. And فَإِلَّمْ تَسْتَطِيقْ. And if you can't do it with the force of your hand, فَبِلِسَانِي. Then speak about it. And don't speak in the absence of that person. In his presence, if you can't tell him directly, then you, in a general term, you can give the message. But we should be passing the message. And if you can't do it with words also, then فَبِقَلْبِ, with your heart. And what it means by the heart, ulama have given different explanations. One is make dua for the person. Another is that in your heart now you think of how I must I tell this person. I can't tell him directly, but how can I tell him? Who should I speak to? Who will tell him? So with your heart. And the Hadith Sharif, it comes that beyond that, there is no iman in a person. If a person doesn't even think of it as bad, the wrong that is happening around us, and so much of wrong. Today, almost all our children, as to whatever school it can be, government, private schools, they are learning Darwin's theory of evolution. And generally, everyone is aware of this. But we just sweep it under the carpet, as though nothing is happening. And that has to do with, it's a matter of kufr and iman. The Big Bang theory that is being taught. Today, so much so, that, for example, at schools, boys and girls meeting one another. And today, they are having affairs also. And at university, even more. And it's an open thing, but not a single person speaks about it. We don't tell anything about it. That is very, very, very detrimental. And we are neglecting our duty very greatly. Just like namaz is faraz on us. Rozas are faraz. We understand that. Many people understand that. Like that, to give advice is also a duty upon us. It also falls in the same duty. And like if a person did not make namaz, he will be questioned about it on the day of Qiyamah. If we don't give just nasiha, then we will also be questioned about it. So this is a very, very important aspect of our deen, and that is the backbone. That is the foundation to get a healthy, good Muslim society. But because we are not doing it almost at all, none of us are doing it at all. A person, a maulana, he has to give his Jummah talk. In most cases, he tries and gets out of it. He doesn't want to speak. And if we speak also, sometimes we are just speaking about irrelevant things. We are speaking of politics in the bayan. We are talking of things which do not really relate to the people. So, and what is necessary to tell the people, that we don't say. As far as bayan is concerned, or anything else, we mustn't be saying those things which the people like to hear. For example, condemn the Jews. So no one has got a problem with that. And you just speak about that. But it doesn't help. The wrong the people are involved in, that is what you have to speak about. So we should just choose subjects and topics of talking, and the real issues, we don't speak about them. Families get together, and they will talk all things. And how the dressing will be, what the behavior will be, that is all. But nobody will speak about deen. And in those cases where somebody takes the courage and speaks about deen, even just for 5 minutes, the people get very upset. That they came and spoil our fun. They came and spoil our day, our enjoyment, they came and spoil it. How sad it is as Muslims, when somebody speaks about deen, then you get offended. It comes in the Quran Sharif that there are those people that when you speak to deen, then they become irritated. They can't take it. Talk of sports and everyone is happy about sports. Talk about politics, talk about baking, talk about fashion, other things, any subject. That's, but the minute you speak about deen, then the people get offended. Somebody has said very beautifully, if somebody, for example, comes and visits you, and he's not talking of leaving, he's overstaying, and now you've got other work to do, And you can't tell him, if you will excuse yourself, if you will leave. So the easiest way to get the message across, just start talking about Deen. When you talk about Deen, immediately you see his watch and he say, I got an appointment, so I have to go now. Or any other excuse. And if that doesn't work out, then just make his tashkil. That give time to go in Jamaat. And then see how quickly he will leave now. That these are not people to be spoken to. Where I got mixed up with these people. Whereas Deen is the most important thing in our lives. Another one very important aspect also, which just comes to mind now, is about dua. Today, generally, we will give one another dua. Most common dua is, may Allah give you a long life. If you have a long life and old age and now sicknesses, you are in problems all the time. But so you just give. Some people might add with afiyas. That is, with good health, etc., everything goes well. But even that is not sufficient. Even if you got a long life with afiyas, but you are involved in gunas, you are not fulfilling the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, what's the use of this life? So we should be making dua that Allah gives you tawfiq to fulfill, make you a good Muslim, make you a righteous Muslim, make you one who prepares for life after death, because that is inevitable. Nobody can ever stop that. Life of akhirah, mort, everyone, kullu nafsin, dha'iqatul mort. Everything that has got life in it will definitely face of mort. Mort is a thing that everyone has to face. But we don't give du'as for preparation of mort, for good life in the qabr, for good life on the day of qiyamah in Jannah. For that seldom. We don't even think about, even for ourselves when we make du'a. How many of us will make du'a for husni khatima, khatima bil khair, that our end comes in a good way. How many of us will make du'a for the qabr? That in the qabr, I mustn't have problems. I must be able to answer the question. We don't even think about it. All we think about is the dunya. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand the great importance of this basic duty. One is, this is to help one another. Other places comes amar bil ma'ruf, to command the right, not just to encourage it. There are hadith for that also, to enjoin, to encourage the people to do the right things. And there are ayat of Quran and hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam where we are commanded to do amar bil ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar. But unfortunately, we are very, very negligent about this and we don't talk about this. Allah tabaruk ta'ala give us the tawfiq to help one another on all good deeds and save one another from all the wrong things. This is a bounded duty for each one of us. And we see somebody who is not, for example, practicing on deen correctly. Dressing is like the kuffar dressing, for example. Then at least to make dua for that person. Do we ever make dua that those people who are on the wrong track, they are modernists, they're following the wrong ways, they're doing all the wrong things. Do we make dua for those people? All we do is criticize them in their absence, which is gunai kabira. You see, in fact, there are two gunas minimum in that. One is that we are backbiting, and the other is we didn't do our duty. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and may Allah accept from all of us, inshallah.